Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I pray over the room again. And I thank you that, as always, I know that you always confirm with shining light into our lives and our hearts when your word comes in. As it is written, the entrance of your word gives light. And you bring understanding along with that. Now here, Lord, we are today. We open our hearts, we open our mouths. The Lord said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. We open our hearts, we open our mouths, and we ask, oh Lord, for your word to enrich our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, bring your vessels, not a few today, because, you know, we are going to, you know, we're ready to get some blessings from the Lord. Today's title, you know, first of all, I want to thank God for the last 4 or 5 days, you know, the series that we concluded, you know, powerful stuff that we did, you know, during the convocation period of fasting and praying and all of that. And we concluded that yesterday with a shout out to the Lord. Powerful room. And if anybody missed yesterday's room, my goodness, you know, you should check it out in the replays. And I did say yesterday that today, because I hadn't gotten a chance to, you know, command a blessing for April. Now, I don't do the monthly blessings every day, every beginning of the month, command blessings like some people do. I don't do that unless the Lord puts it in my heart to do it. Because I believe every day is a day of blessing. So let me straighten that out, first of all, before I go into this blessing room today. Now, God is not a seasonal God. Even though God uses seasons, the seasons are for us. It's not really for God. You read it in the book of Genesis from the beginning. God created those seasons and those things and so forth. The sun and the moon, they have their dominion upon the earth. Therefore, seasons. As the God is not bound by time, you know. So, and all the time in the Bible that we see that at a certain season, the grace of God was with them. At a certain season, he sent an angel to stir up the pool. At a certain season, he did this and that. You know, all of that was just for the benefit of the people. The way that God really works is, you know, it is given to us in Psalm 1. He said, blessed is the man, you know, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of, the scornful, nor studieth in the way of sinners. But his delight is with the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night, and he will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. You know, I mean, his leaves will not fail. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season, always fruitful, because he's right there by living waters. And you know the story in Mark 11. I just want to set this straight before I do this. The story in Mark 11 that Jesus came to the fig tree. You all know the story. I've spoken on it many times in this room. And the Bible says that it was not yet time for figs. But Jesus didn't care that it wasn't yet time for figs. He knew that already. But yet, he wanted fruit. Because look, every day is the season we got. There's no such, you know. Now, I hear people say all of the time that it's your season of blessing. It's your season of breakthrough. Well, that may be true. But that's only because of God's mercy. Because many times our hearts are hardened against the revelation that God has already given us. You know, so you see that anointed ministers, they'll come out sometimes and say, you know, it's your time of breakthrough. It's a time of this, a time of that. And I do that too sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves on me. But I don't do it as a habit to say every month, you know, the beginning of the month, we're going to do this and that. And so because for me, as far as I'm concerned, every day is the blessing of the Lord. If you know how to bless yourself with the word of God, then you are always going to be in season and never out of season. You know, so I want to straighten that out right now before we go any further. I want you to always be in season. Now, we have a lesson somewhere a few months ago called in season and out of season, or out of season and in season, something like that. You know, so sometimes we go out of season because we're waiting for the next moving of the pool. And so on and so forth. So we go out of season. We're waiting for that certain season. But at any time, if you can cramp up your faith, because God is always there. God never went to sleep. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. God never, you know, took a vacation. So why is it that we must wait for his season? Now, yes, there are some seasons that God appoints. There's an appointed time, you know, that he will do certain things. But I tell you what, whether it's the appointed time or not, if you have the faith, you can get whatever you want from God. Why? Because we've seen stories that God allowed in the Bible for that very reason. We saw the story, you know, the woman in Matthew 15, we call her the Syrophoenician woman, came to the Lord. The Lord said, look, it's not yet time for the Gentiles. I cannot give that which is for the dogs, I mean for the children to the dogs, because I'm sent only to, right now, to the house of Israel. God was just putting that out there for a lesson, because the Lord already knew what the woman was going to do, and he already knew the outcome of that. And the woman, she pierced the veil of that, even that dispensation that Christ said, look, right now, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she said, well, nevertheless, you know, the dogs will get the crumb. So season or no season, she got that blessing. Now, so let me put that right out there today. Season or no season, beginning of the month or not, you know, you can get that blessing at any time. And I don't want to be touted as one of those preachers that every month will come out and do this and that. God bless them if they do that. That's not me. But if the Lord calls for it, I will do it. And so I was thinking about it because April is such a special month. I didn't want to let it go. Now, April is the first full month of spring. Well, officially spring starts, you know, in late March, right? Maybe March 22nd, March 21, somewhere in there. But April is the first full month of spring. And understanding, you know, prophetic cycles, you know, I understand that there's certain things, you know, God will use those things to teach us certain things. So I was thinking about it. And then the Holy Spirit said, no. You already said a lot, you know, I've already brought a lot of teaching, you know. You've already shown them how to declare things for themselves. They will declare things for themselves today. You know, so, well, tomorrow, actually, this was yesterday. So, rather than declaring for you, I'm going to let you declare for yourself. However, I'm going to give you scriptures. I'll give a very short lesson, and then you will declare for yourself. And the stuff that I was going to declare for you, I'm going to declare it for myself. Hallelujah. So now you declare it for yourself. You know, so, you know, just like the song we played at the beginning, reign of miracles, whatever it is. I mean, this is God's universe. I mean, it's all in his hands. You know, so here is the first thing. And we're getting to the lesson now. I'm going to ask you this. If God were to ask you this question that he asked Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. What will your answer be? So let's check it out. In 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 5, you know, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a vision. And he said, well, ask what you will and I will give it to you. Now, hold on now. You know, you don't need a vision like that today, because Jesus already said pretty much the same thing. If you shall ask anything in my will, I will do it. He already said that multiple times in the scriptures. You know, but, you know, sometimes we like the melodramatic stuff. We like the vision. We like the dream. We like the this. We like the that. You know, even though the word of God has already said the same thing, sometimes people are waiting for some dream or some vision. But nevertheless, well, assuming God actually did come to you in a dream, or some vision, or whatever, and ask you this question. What would your answer be? Now, you don't need to spiritualize it. You know, you can spiritualize it if you want. You know, some, you know, people like to spiritualize things. You can. You can ask whatever you want. I mean, you can, you know, the Lord didn't tell, the Lord didn't tell Solomon to ask only one thing. He didn't say, ask me any one thing. He didn't say that. All he said was, ask what I shall give you. He didn't say one. He didn't say two. He didn't say three. You know, he could have asked for, we know he asked for wisdom. He could have asked for more stuff. We don't know what the Lord was going to put a limit on it because he just asked me. The Lord blessed him anyway with more stuff because the Lord saw that his answer was really good. He said, wow, you know, you didn't ask for the life of your enemies. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for this. You asked for the one thing that you needed in order to be able to fulfill this, your role, this assignment of being king. He was a young king. And, you know, Solomon said, look, I mean, your people are so great. You know, I can't step into the shoes of my father. I don't know how to do this thing. You know, but here I am because you made a promise that my father's house will not lack a man to sit on his throne. And so here I am. And I don't know what to do. You know, and these people are so great. I mean, how am I going to do this? I mean, he was overwhelmed. And he said, Lord, give me, you know, the spirit of judgment, spirit of wisdom and understanding heart and so on. You know, and the Lord said, wow, I like the answer. So the Lord gave him, you know, an understanding heart. Lord gave him wisdom. But on top of that, you know, because the Lord, you know, see, these things are paralleled throughout the scriptures, even in the teachings of Christ. There's nothing here that we're seeing in the story of Solomon that Christ didn't say. In Matthew chapter 6, 30, you know, that whole chapter leading up to verse 33, Jesus was telling us how to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. So we see this is the same thing that Solomon did. He sought after the things of God, something that will make him be able to fulfill his assignment. And he said, I need that. And the Lord said, well, I'm going to give that to you. And I'm going to give you these other things because you made a good choice in asking the right thing. You know, so now if God were to ask you that, what would be your question? Answer. You could also ask anything. I mean, it doesn't always have to be wisdom or this and that. It would be whatever. You know, we've seen the stories in the Bible. We saw Esther when God was going to turn the tables against Haman and God was going to give her favor before the king. You know, and she asked people to pray. If I perish, I perish. She went towards the king. You know, in those days, you can't go to the king unless he puts out, you know, a scepter to you. You can't just go unless he calls you. If you go, you have the jeopardy of a life or death sentence. But if the king would see you and put out a scepter to you, then you're all good. You're all clear. But if he doesn't, you could be killed. You could lose your life. You can't just go to the king anyhow because he didn't call you. So she went anyway. And the king had favor on her. Put out his scepter towards her. And the king said, look, ask me anything, even to half of the kingdom, and I will give it to you. Now, listen, when you are on a roll like that, then be on a roll. Hallelujah. Don't, you know, when you are on a roll with God, be on a roll. That's all I'm going to say to you today. You know, don't cut yourself short. When you're on a roll, because you've heard me say this multiple times, you cannot deplete God's supply. You can't do it. Whatever you can get from God and whatever you can decree for yourself today, which we're going to do in a few minutes, is like taking a bucket to the ocean. I say it all the time. You know, you can take a bucket. You may choose to not take a bucket, take a barrel. That's fine. You may not even take a barrel. You can take a tanker. You know, take anything you want. You know, that ocean is still there. You know, you can take as much as you want and just keep getting more and more. You know, so now keep that in mind as we do this. There's a story. I'm not going to go into those stories today. I'm just going to paraphrase them because I want to get through this quickly. It's a story of Elisha and the king of Israel. When Elisha was dying, called the king of Israel and said, look, you know, he wanted to just bless the guy. You know, he said, look, take your bow and arrow and shoot your arrows. And the man, you know, shot the arrow 3 times and then he stopped. And the prophet was angry. Why did you stop? You could have shot 5, 6, 7 or more times. Why did you stop at 3? Well, because you stopped at 3, God's only going to give you 3 victories against Syria and all the rest of these people. But, you know, if you had shot out more arrows, you could have completely wiped them out and vanquished them. You know, so when you are on a roll with God, be on the roll. There's no need for you. There's no need for you to stop when the Lord gives you, and he puts it out there. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus already put it out there. Hallelujah. John 15:7, he said, look, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, those are the conditions. I've taught on this many times. Then you shall ask whatever you will. It's the same thing like he was telling Solomon here. So I don't need a vision. He's already there. Now, this is already there. You can ask whatsoever you will. Now, in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 51. Here's somebody also that Jesus asked. You know, yeah, now this, what I'm doing here is I'm asking you that if God or the Lord were to ask you this question, what would be your answer? You know, what shall I do for you? Ask me anything. You know, and he already did in the Bible. You know, so, but here is some point blank places. Mark chapter 10 and verse 51 that Jesus asked this man. He said, well, what shall I do for you? You know, and the man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Well, that was the thing that was uppermost in his heart. Because this man, he was crying out to him, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. And everybody was telling him to shut up. Keep your mouth shut. But the man, he cried out even a great deal more. You can read that in verses 47 and 48. Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He was crying. And they, you know, they told him, keep quiet. Don't bother the master. He cried out even the more. So finally, and I tell you something, folks. You know, anytime I preach on mercy, I always say this. Mercy is the one thing. When you cry out for God's mercy, that is the one thing that he cannot turn away from. He can't do it. You know, we are told here that Jesus, you know, I mean, Jesus stood still. That cry magnetized him, stopped him right there on his tracks. When he heard that cry for mercy, the reason people get destroyed is because they don't cry for God's mercy. Even when God put a word of destruction out, people don't cry out for mercy, and then they get destroyed. I guarantee you, everyone that God had pronounced judgment out against, if they would have, even Adam and Eve, I didn't see them, you know, falling on their faces and asking God for any mercy. They just took it like that, you know. So, and then it came upon them. The prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13, you can read the story on your own time, you know, that did all the things that God told him to do and did something else that God had told him not to do, which is don't go to anybody's house, don't do this and that. You may know the story. And the older prophet came and deceived him. And then the same older prophet brought judgment against him when they were sitting at meal and said, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, which told you not to turn aside, do this and that, you know, your carcass will fall by the wayside. I didn't see that prophet falling on his face and asking for mercy. And people just take these things. God pronounced judgment against them. They just take it. They don't ask for mercy, you know. But I tell you what, there was a group of people in the city called Nineveh in Jonah chapter 4 that when they heard the pronunciation of judgment, which is why Jonah was running away, he didn't want God to save them, you know. But when they heard it, and Jonah said, yet 40 days and this city will be overturned from bottom, top to bottom. And their king, he put ashes on his head and he began to call it. Commanded the whole people, everybody, woman, child, suckling, beast, nobody eat for 3 days. And then God turned that aside. Because look, anytime that people do that, God can never turn that away. Too many scriptures that give us that understanding. And that city was saved. You know, we see even the wicked king Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21. Wicked king. You know, that even his wife stirred him up to be even more wicked. After Elijah pronounced all that judgment against him, the next thing we know, he put ashes on his head and he walked softly. And the Lord said, wow. The Lord talked to the prophet and said, do you see this man, how wicked he is? Do you see how he trembled at my word? Well, the judgment is going to come, but I will delay it. I'll push it down the road. You know, because he trembled at my word. Look, anytime that people call on his mercy, that's something he cannot deny. So this man, he called on his mercy. And Jesus said, all right, what shall I do for you? You can read that in verse 51 of Mark 10. And the man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Lord said, fine, go your way. Your faith has made thee whole. And immediately, and I love that word, immediately, the man received his sight. You know, so, you know, all of that, I say all of that to say this. I place before you this day an opportunity to ask of the Lord what he will do for you. That's right. Because I was going to come in here and decree this, and the Lord said, no, you tell them, you know, to ask for themselves what I will do for them. I said, well, I did say I was going to declare. I said, well, you tell them to declare for themselves. So I'm telling you. And listen to this in Romans chapter 4. These are the things that will help you as we go into prayers in the next few minutes. These are the things that will help you. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, you know, we are told that God calls things that are not as though they are. He that's how he did it in the beginning. I mean, you know, that's how he did in the beginning. In the beginning, he saw that the earth was without form and was void, and there's chaos everywhere, and he didn't like it. You know, God is not the author of chaos. And, you know, God, he looked at that chaos, the Holy Spirit moved, and he brought order. And I often tell people, I said, look, there is nobody like the Holy Spirit that can bring order out of chaos, out of a chaotic life. When your life is chaos, I mean, there's some lives that just attract chaos. I don't know why, you know, those attract chaos. Maybe because they always speak unadvisedly with their mouth and say negative things. I don't know. You know, instead of the life attracting beauty and blessing, their life just attracts chaos. But nevertheless, if we allow the Holy Spirit to move like he did in the beginning, he brings order out of that chaos. He doesn't like anything chaotic. And when the life is without form and void, you know, that means, you know, there's lackluster, you know, it lacks even success. It's lacking form, it's lacking direction or whatever. Holy Spirit can come in there and he can do a marvelous, it's like a Holy Ghost makeover. And he can do incredible things if we know how to do it in faith. And that's what I've been teaching in this room and so on and so forth. So today, we can do the same thing like God did. You can command things that are not as though they already are. I'm going to give you a few more scriptures in a minute. Now, we know that in the case of God, according to Isaiah 46 and verse 10, God already knows the end from the beginning. We know that. And we know that. He declares the end from the beginning. Yeah, I mean, it's like, look, it's like, you know, a great chess player, you know, and two of them are playing chess. And these great chess players, they can come in there, they can make one move. You know, now, of course, if the other one was also a great chess player, they were both great chess. It's like irresistible, you know, trying to move the unmovable. Well, that, you know, they will be there for days. But, you know, if a great chess player was against, you know, somebody who was like a, you know, novice or just an amateur or whatever, you know, the great chess player can come in there, and I hope everybody knows what chess is, and they can make one move, checkmate the guy right out of the box, and it's done. Why? Because they can see many moves ahead. They compute it in their head. Many, many moves ahead. You do this, I do this, you do this. And then they make you one move. And any other move you make at that time will put your queen in check. And that means a checkmate. You know, and they just make one move and checkmate and you're gone. It's just that. And God, he can checkmate that devil right out of the box anytime he wants. Because God already knows the end from the beginning. You know, but he put the devil here. He has a reason for it. He's using him for some things. You know, so he leaves him here. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he has to wait for you or for God to make a move, and then he'll foul it up or try to foul it up, because he doesn't have foreknowledge like God does. No, he does not. He has to wait for God to make a move and then try to mess it up. He has to wait for you. So don't tell your things to the devil. Don't tell your plans to the devil. Because when you tell your plans to the devil, then he'll try to foul it up. You know, so now Having said that, we do not have foreknowledge like God has. You know, so I don't know the end from the beginning. But one thing I do know is the word of God. I know what the word of God has said. And by me exercising the word of God, by me exercising my faith in his word equates. If you know how to use that faith, your faith in his word equates to his foreknowledge. Basically, that's it. What foreknowledge is to God is what my faith in his word is to me. That's it. You know, because, you know, he's already Holy Spirit. You know, John chapter 16 and verse 13. And I want you to use this in your prayer today. Yeah, it's actually not so much prayer. It's a declaration. Visualize it. Visualize it. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit is come, which is the Spirit of truth, it would do many things in John chapter 16 and 13. Among those things that he would do, he will show you things to come. Now, that's not just prophetic things that will happen to the world. No, that's things to come in your life. The Holy Spirit will show you. So when the Holy Spirit already knows, and he will show you. And when he shows you, you tap into that grace. And that's how you pray, the prayer of declaration of faith. You tap into that faith you use your faith to tap into what the Holy Spirit is showing you. Now, let's put it this way. So, I mean, you're looking for a baby, you know, and so forth like that. You're looking for a husband. You're looking for a wife. You're looking for a job. You're looking for this and that. Whatever it is, Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Then you latch into it with your faith. And that's almost like you've already seen it too. You know, so that's why I say that his foreknowledge, he knows what to come. He'll show it to you. When you put your faith in it, it's almost equal to the same. Because if your faith, you know, if you can use it right, you can accomplish the same things that God declares by his foreknowledge. Hallelujah. And so by our faith today, we're going to declare things with God. Hallelujah. Now, let me read a couple of scriptures to you, and then we're going to begin to declare. Here's what the Lord said, you know, to Job in Job chapter 38, verses 12 and 33. And I love that Job 38. You've heard me, those of you who have been in this room, refer to it many times. But today, I'm going to stop and read it to you because it goes right in line with today's lesson. So Job chapter 38, the Lord challenging Job about many things. He said, who is this one that's darkening, you know, knowledge without understanding and so forth? The Lord's going to tell him some stuff. You know, so the Lord said, look, in verse 12, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? Can you do it? Absolutely. Can you cause, remember, April is the month of spring. You know, so what we are going to do in these declarations of April is cause even the day spring. You cause the days to bring, to spring up new and good things. And Job was looking when the Lord was asking, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Do you know these things? Do you know how to command, you know, the morning? Look, by God asking Job these things, we actually find out that, yeah, so somebody can do this. Hallelujah. You can actually command the morning. Glory to God. You know, I've been teaching this last 4 days especially, and I'll be even forever in this room, you know, Psalm 110 verse 3 tells us that. Come and command the morning, the womb of the morning. Well, it can be the womb of the month too if you want. But I tell you what, here's one decree that I will make. I have the permission from the Holy Spirit to say this one. The rest of you will do for yourself. This month, April, shall be the month of months because it will be the beginning of months. That's right. Because new things will spring forth for you. He said, before I bring them forth, I do tell you, and they spring forth. Well, this time around, the Holy Spirit will show it to you, and then use your imagination. In fact, use your imagination in faith. That's how it works. Let the Holy Spirit show you what you are believing for. You see the end result. You know, believing for a new job. See yourself in that new job already. Hallelujah. And then just, you know, Holy Spirit show it to you. Say, yeah, I like that. Looks cool. And then you believe God. Look, these things are not complicated. you know, but people make it complicated. You know, people, we think that we can't do it. We got to go seek out a prophet to do it for us. We got to go look for some word here. We got to go. And then every month you go for another word. Then the next month you go for another word. You know, that word is in your mouth. Romans chapter 10. You don't need to go to heaven to bring Jesus down. You don't need to look for him in the grave. It is always no longer there. You don't need to run for a prophetic word. It's in your mouth. You declare that word. And so that's what we're going to do. And God said to, look, God said that all things are possible. All things. That's what Jesus said. All things are possible to you if you believe it. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. He said it in multiple places. You know, first he said, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe it. That's what he said. You know, if you can believe it. Now, he also said, Matthew 21 and 22, all things soever that you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I mean, there's just so many scriptures where he says this over and over again. You know, then in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, he says, well, even if you think you can't do that, well, he says, well, with man it may be impossible, but with God, nothing shall be impossible because all things are possible with God. You know, you go to Mark chapter, 11, you read, in verse 24, you read these things that he said, you know, all things soever you desire in prayer, when you pray, believe, and you shall have them. I mean, promises all over the place, you know, but we want to step it up today, not just prayer. We want to declare. And so I'm going to give you this last scripture and then we're going to use it. And we're going to begin this declaration. And again, this is a familiar scripture because I've said it many times. You know, Genesis chapter 13, God gave this to Abraham in verses 14 and 15. And it goes along with what I'm saying. He said to Abraham, he said, look from the place where you are. Look eastward, westward, northward, and southward for all that you can see. Glory to God. You know, will I give it to you? Now, but you got to see it first. How do you see it? John chapter 16 and verse 13. Those people will show it to you. You know, didn't it say the same thing in Ephesians 3 and 20? He said, all things that you can ask, God can do and exceed it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Think means imagine it. Just imagine it in your head. You know, but more than that. Imagine it with the eye of faith. If you can imagine it with the eye of faith, as the Holy Spirit shows it to you, the Holy Spirit show you the end game already. You know, and then you just latch onto it. And then once you are in that zone, you declare it with your mouth. And you leave it alone. That's it. Don't go dig it up after that. You declare it, you leave it alone, and you just praise the Lord. You know, you say it, and it's done. You tell the disciples, let's cross over to the other side. And end of story. And you go and sleep. That's it. The storm come, the water come in the boat, everything up and down, topsy-turvy and so forth. Tempest try to blow you off. You sleeping through it because you already said it. And it's a done deal. And because you said it, it's going to be. You know, so, but the disciples didn't understand that principle. And Jesus had to teach it to them. You know, so they did not understand it. You know, but now we're trying to understand it. The word of God will sustain itself. You know, you're not going to get to the other side because of the mastery of the shipmaster or the lack of storm or anything like that. No, the storm will come against you. The shipmaster may not know what to do. And all of that, you know, everything may be confused, but that word will sustain itself. Hallelujah. You know, because he spoke it and that's the way it's going to be. Let us cross over to the other side. End of story. And that means you will end up in the other side. Now, so you do the same thing. Let's practice our faith to that level. You say it and you leave it alone. And you just move on. Glory to God. You know, don't come back and then say, look, don't be believing something. And what you're going to declare this morning, you know, don't declare something this morning. And then later on, you act contrary to it. You know, people say put your mouth where your money is at or whatever. I'm going to say, look, put your actions where your mouth is at. You know, when you speak it, then behave the same way. If you say, I am healed, then get up from the bed already. I mean, don't lie in bed all day long, covered with a blanket and say, I'm healed. Why? Get up from the bed if you say you are healed. Take up your bed and walk. This is the way Jesus used to do it. Even the disciples, pick up the man, pick him up and so forth, you know, and all that, you know. So that's what we are going to do. From the place where you are right now, get ready, because we are going into this declaration zone. I'm not declaring anything for anybody except myself today. I will declare for my wife. I'll be declaring for my children. And I'll declare for my brethren too. But I'm not going to give it to you like prophecy or declaration. So you're going to declare for yourself. But we're ready. You get ready. We're going into that today. Now, here is the invitation. What shall I do for you today? He asked Solomon. Jesus asked this man, David, who was blind. Ask me what I shall do for you. You know, hallelujah. So he's asking you today, what do you want the Lord? What do you want this month of April to look like? And there was a time 2 years ago during the COVID year or so, you know, the Lord showed me some calendars, you know, things like that. And I came to the fellowship and I said, look, I was praying about it. And you can see joy or you can see gloominess. Which one is you going to be? You know, so I looked and I'm looking now. All I want to see is goodness and joy. I don't want to see dark clouds over any days in April. You know, so visualize the April calendar. What do you want it to look like? Now, it is the month of spring, right? So, you know, even things that are cut down can begin to spring forth again just through a little scent of water, according to Job chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. Scent of water, even though the tree is dead, you bring that scent of water by your declaration this morning. So what would you have the Lord do for you this morning? We're going to go into declaration. First, I'm going to pray over the room. Then I'm going to let you declare for yourself. Are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word of God. Your word, hallelujah, shall never return unto you void. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. I pray that that river flow through this room today, making glad everything that it touches. Just like it says in Ezekiel 47, say, wherever that river gets to, there was healing, there was gladness, there was goodness, there was even an abundance of fishes. Now, let that river flow this morning, making glad the children of God. And Lord, you know, inspire faith in the heart of everyone today through these few words that we have spoken. And they be able to stand in the light and declare for themselves. Such things as the lions are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Again, you have said in your word that you have crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. May we stand today and declare the loving kindness and tender mercies of the Lord upon ourselves. For it is written, you know, the Lord delivers us from all destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle even. The Lord says it is time. Every day is a time for you to declare the blessing of God for yourself. The veil has been rent when Jesus died on the cross. There's no more veil of separation of season or no season. Now, all who believe, all ye who believe, come and enter in. All ye who thirst, come and take of the water of life freely. At any time, as it is this day, you can take. Now, O Lord, that which you have spoken by your word with your own mouth. Verify it with your hand as it is this day in the life of your children, and that they may know that I have spoken your word here this morning, and that you have ordained a blessing for them out of their own mouth. In Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, the angels are waiting. What are you going to say today? Psalm 103 verse 20. Angels that excel in strength, they hearken to the voice. They do his commandments, but they are hearkening to the voice of God's word. Are you going to give voice to that word today and declare it for yourself? I invite you. We're going to go into this declaration. Now, if you want to be a part of this, don't let this pass you by. You know, I've already prayed for everyone that's going to be in this room today, and everyone that is going to listen on later on, you know, but the Holy Spirit wanted me to do it a little bit differently, you know, because you can give somebody fish all the time, but you can also teach them how to fish, you know, so rather than me always doing it, well, let's get the people engaged. It's basically what the Holy Spirit is saying. You're giving them enough tools. Let them do it themselves, you know, hallelujah. All right. So that's what we are going to do. And if you are in the audience as well, don't be left out. Today is not the day that you are left out of anything. You know, you need to make this. Look, there are a cloud of witnesses, you know, that are listening. The angels are waiting, you know, and if you can declare it, Jesus said, thou can have whatsoever thou sayest. You got to say it though, you know, when you say it, you must not doubt it. But you must believe that those things which you said will come to pass. And then leave it alone. Glory to God. And then next time, just praise the Lord for it. Don't go dig it up and see whether it's happening. It is happening. Because the earth brings forth seed by itself. The earth doesn't need, you know, somebody to go dig up what you planted every day to look as if it's planting. I mean, it's growing. It is growing. Just water it. How do you water it? Water it with your praise. Give it a positive outlook. Let sunshine upon it. Clear away the weeds, all the doubt and unbelief in your heart, you know, but don't dig it up from the ground. Leave it there. It's going to grow. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I invite you, if you are in the audience, raise your hand. Let's believe God together. Glory to God. You know, I will also silently be declaring some things for you, but I'm not going to do it publicly because I want you to do that for yourself. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit said, let them do that for themselves. You know, so I got to obey him. You know, so I'm going to do some, you know, just some minor declarations and so forth, you know, but I'll do it silently. But you are the main actor in this thing, if you will. You know, you are playing the leading role in this. It is your life, after all. Glory to God. So you step up, you know, and take the faith challenge today. There's a faith challenge. Ask me what you will, and I will do it for you. Glory to God. But remember, you got to ask within the confines of his will. Cover that multiple times. Can't just say anything and think that God's going to do it if it's not in alignment with his will. You know, but if it's in alignment with his will, it's within the confines of his will, within the parameters of God's will, which is huge. You know, you can ask whatever you want. Hallelujah. Can declare for yourself, declare for your spouse, declare for your children. If you have grandchildren, declare for them. And even if you are waiting for a spouse, declare it as well. If you are waiting for something new in your life, declare it. And if you are things that are not moving and you want them to move, declare it. We did some of that in the church on Sunday. You know, came out and dealt with the spirit of stagnation. And the Lord asked me to pray, you know, and declare movement for people. And I was a lot of people that day. Anyway, declare it for yourself that you may be justified. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Declare it, the Lord said, you know, so that you may be justified. Now, raise your hand if you are in the audience to participate in this prayer. And we are going to believe God together. Hallelujah. If you want to participate, raise your hand. Come on to the stage. Will you be praying for yourself? And you'll be declaring for yourself. Listen to this also. This is a promise that you can use. Psalm 115. You know, the Lord promised increase, not only for you, but he promised increase for you and your children. Psalm 115 and verse 14. He said, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. Hallelujah. You know, so not only will the Lord increase you, he will also increase your children. Hallelujah. I mean, look, enough said already. Enough said already. Let's go into prayer, because I will be closing this room at the bottom of this next hour. You know, that would, so from now or even earlier, we have 30 minutes. 30 minutes to do this next declaration. And heaven open right now. Hallelujah. And may the Lord grant you the faith and the boldness. And why not? You have it already. Just use it. You know, to declare for yourself good things here this morning. Remember, rain of miracles falling on you everywhere. Rain of favor, you know, coming your way. You know, favor, double promotion, whatever it is, you know, it's all coming. Your husband is coming. Good things are coming. You know, that new horizon is breaking for you. Glory to God. Springing forth for you this month of April, which is the month of spring, the first full month, really. And new things are springing up for you. Say, before they spring forth, I declare them to you. Well, the Holy Spirit show it to you. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to do. I'm looking to see if anyone raised their hands to make sure that they can come to stage. You know, I'm not coming. You're not coming to stage for me to ask you to speak. So don't be worried about that. But you're coming to stage for you to pray and declare for yourself. Glory to God.